Heavenly Father, thank you for the study of your word. We ask that you would bless the word of God for our hearing, for our doing. So, Lord, we ask by the Holy Spirit tonight that you would write this word on our hearts. Thank you that under this wonderful promise, Lord, that your Spirit can write the word on the fleshly tables of our hearts. So we ask that your word would dwell in us richly, Lord Jesus. You're the Christ. That your word would dwell in us richly in all wisdom, that we would have teaching and admonishing one another. Look to you to be taught by your Holy Spirit. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, 1 Samuel 18, you'll recall the context of having entered into this. Goliath is dead, right? That's chapter 17. That's, everyone knows. Well, they used to. Everyone used to know. Now you got to tell people about David and Goliath, because by the stats, 40% are nothings. No religious affiliation. And what is that? NRAs. No religious affiliation. A different NRA. In our city, 40% of the population, by stats, say they do not know Jesus Christ. Okay? So if I could stir you up unto the real reason why we studied out of chapter 17 was not so we could learn how to cut off Goliath's head and imagine some giant in your life that you need to defeat, but rather to answer the call to be Spirit-filled, as the Spirit was upon David, for the work of ministry, okay, and for a greater power over sin. And the context of the faith with works that David displayed, that he really believed that God, right, that God would defeat Goliath because he had blasphemed the living God. And he goes forth in that faith with a mighty work. Okay? Now, James says it this way. He says, some would say, show me your faith, and he says, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. So, I really believe that David believes he's been anointed the next king of Israel. I really believe that David believes that he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. As I introduce this to us tonight in chapter 18, it says, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Introduced tonight, we talk out of chapter 17, the context of being Spirit-filled, and I'll introduce to you a very important part of, if you are Spirit-filled, well, then walk like it. Or I could also say it to you this way. I say unto you, let us walk in the Spirit. Okay? So, title-wise, and by way of introduction, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Colossians 2:2, right? Knit together in love. This is the church. You know, again, I'm in worship tonight. I'm remembering being back in South Sudan, Nimuli, at the compound for far-reaching ministries with all the chaplains. And all the chaplains, they gather together, and they love one another. In fact, such an action across 11 classes of chaplains spanning almost 20 years, and they're all arm in arm singing, and they all know the same songs. And, you know, one of the ones that got me was, We Are Chaplains, We Are One. We Are Chaplains, We Are One. It's the only place in South Sudan, if you study this out, where people from all the different tribes gather together, and they truly are one. Now, so if I just offer this up, we are his church. Again, if you think of the context of Jesus' church, we are his church, we are one. There is a unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We endeavor to keep that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You have a brotherhood that you don't even know about yet. Or sisters, you have a sisterhood. It doesn't quite have the same maybe flare of sound, but this oneness, and we're introduced to it. And so on my ring in Hebrew that I bought on my second trip there, first trip with my wife, we got matching rings in Hebrew. But we chose a New Testament verse, and it was Colossians 2:2. And so you're going to need Colossians tonight, so we're going to be in 2, 3, and 4. And you're going to need Ephesians 5 and Romans 8. So just get used to going to the New Testament tonight. Okay. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Colossians 2:3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So I introduced tonight, the real title for 1 Samuel 18 is Walk in Wisdom. That's the real title. All the other, I got 12 titles in my head, but this is the real one that the Holy Spirit wants. Walk in Wisdom. Wisdom of what? Well, wisdom of the Word. Wisdom of that knowledge and understanding that's in Christ Jesus that is given unto you. Again, Ephesians 1:17, the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Him. Colossians 2:3 describes this wisdom and understanding which is in God, the Father, and the Son. I introduce unto you tonight, in 1 Samuel 18, I introduce unto you the walking in wisdom. Now, it begins this way with Jonathan and David. Again, just put them together. Venture in faith. By faith, they both did, right, greater works. You hear that phrase? So Jesus said unto his disciples, right, and those that would come after him, that the works that he did, we would do, and the greater works would be done because he went to the Father. And so wisdom is knowing what to do. Is that simple enough? Wisdom is knowing what to do. And I would say, let's find out why David knew what to do, right, as we study this tonight. Because I believe each and every one of you should know what to do. Okay. Now, when I would raise my children, royalty-free, I'll use the other two aren't even in here. I don't have any money to spend on food. My dog's eating up all this food. No, not really. What was I going to say? I took myself off track. I don't know is not an answer. When we're seeking God and we're interacting with one another and we're walking, right, with Jesus, and we're walking in the Word and we're walking in the wisdom of the Word, I don't know is not an answer. You know what an answer is? I'm waiting for an answer. I'm seeking to know. I know God has my answer. But when you say, I don't know, okay, that's not really an answer that satisfies. Saul and Jonathan were knit together in love. Okay, Colossians 2:2-4. Just get that into your heart. Is that our church? Is that us? Is there Ephesians 1:17? This is all the church. This is the revelation of the knowledge of Him. This is the spirit of wisdom. This is the wisdom and knowledge. Where does David get his wisdom? Well, before we get on to that, find your way to Romans 8. One of my favorite things to do is make you think. That's why I don't want you to say, I don't know. What was he talking about tonight? I don't know. So I want you to think about this. This life after the Spirit, right? This life after the Spirit. See, because all who come to faith in Christ Jesus are born of him. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature, right? This born of him, this life after him, and we solved last week, what is the Holy Spirit upon your life? What is the Spirit of God doing in you? He's given you the power to be his witness as you do the works of ministry and as you follow him and obey him, having a greater power over temptation, over sin. And now I get on to tonight. This is walking in the Spirit, but with a special emphasis upon the wisdom that comes forth from God. Spirit of wisdom, revelation of the knowledge of him. How did you find that out? Well, Jesus showed me. Jesus told me about that. How did you know it was Jesus? Well, when he came to me in my dream, he looked like he looks in all of his pictures. That's not how you tell that's Jesus. How do you know that's the Lord Jesus talking? Well, the Holy Spirit does what? The Holy Spirit brings to remembrance the things that Jesus has said. As you're reading your word and you're reading what Jesus says and teaches and does. Now, this may sound elementary, good. I don't want this to be missed. This doesn't come another way. This comes by the Spirit teaching you the truth of the Scriptures concerning Jesus Christ and the Father. That's how this comes to you. Romans 8:4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. King Saul, in case you read ahead and couldn't quite recognize where this was at in 1 Samuel 18. King Saul, okay. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, my offering up to you today is 1 John 2:6. Anyone who says, right, that he abides in Jesus ought to walk just as he walked. Now what I see in Jesus Christ is he walked in the Spirit. Right? That's what I saw. Yep, Galatians 5:16 and 5:25. So this may seem like randomness to you, but this is actually the Holy Spirit study. This is the walking in the Spirit study. Meaning that the Holy Spirit, through the letters, the Scriptures, these were given. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? It is wise for me to walk in the Spirit. You just put that into your heart. It is wisdom of God for me to walk in the Spirit as Jesus walked in the Spirit. 1 John 2:6, right? Romans 8. 4:5-6 and Galatians 5:16, if you're taking notes. Now, you want to know how I organize these? I just hide them in my heart. Which one do you want to talk about more? Okay. Now, I'm glad you ended up with Psalm 1, right? Meditating upon the Word of God. Abiding in the vine, abiding in Jesus, abiding in his word, his love, his commands. So what this is that the word of God and inspired by the Spirit of God, that you can put the word of God in your heart and have wisdom to walk out this life. So as you walk in wisdom, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They're at enmity. 5, 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, what's the title for tonight, 1 Samuel 18? Walk in wisdom. What kind of wisdom am I talking about? Isaiah 11:2 wisdom. Right before Jeremiah. Isaiah 11:2 wisdom. If you can't find Isaiah, it's the longest book in the middle of the Bible. Just go to the middle of the Bible, you'll find it somewhere. Isaiah 11:2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Anybody have an identity there of who that is? So this is prophecy concerning the Messiah, where he'd come from. A branch, again, that's I'm the vine, you're the branches, Jesus, again, this is a specific messianic title. Come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Do you think Jesus ever said, I don't know? You like that? Okay. So let's get after this 1 Samuel 18 study. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Okay. Saul took him that day, would not let him go home anymore to his father's house. Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Okay. John 13:34. Right? New commandment I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you. Loving one another, gave himself for David and Jonathan. Jonathan's going to show us, if you will, Jesus' love in the Old Testament. Loved him as his own soul. You know, husbands are commanded to love their wives as they love themselves. That this is this type of bond, okay, and a bond of love that Jesus Christ loved them to the end, right? Now, there's always going to be someone who wants to make this perverse, but it's not. Those who want to come and twist scriptures, the love between one another in the body of Christ. Because he loved him as his own soul. Verse 4, Jonathan took off the robe that was on him, gave it to David, his armor, his sword, his bow, and his belt. Jonathan's firstborn, David's lastborn. Jonathan's the crown prince. The crown prince does what? I recognize I'm not going to be the next king, but you're the next king. So David went out wherever Saul sent him, and he behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war and was accepted in the sight of all the people and the sight of Saul's servants. Find your way to Ephesians 5. Page 1520. Is that right, Alex? Yeah. You're on the same page? All right. You have your Thompson channel on. Very good. No, I'm not going to teach Ephesians 5. Okay? But Ephesians 5 is taught in 1 Samuel 18. You hear that? It's the illustration. So, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Okay? Jonathan, it's nothing for the Lord to save by many or a few. Okay, remember his venture in faith. Okay? Imitators of God as dear children. Okay? So I'm just calling you to be men and women of faith. What do you really believe about God? What do you really believe what God has done through Jesus Christ on that cross, resurrection from the dead, and then giving his life and imparting that to you by the new birth, granting you and what you really believe, then I'm just calling you, like the book of James, to show that by your works what you really believe. Okay? So I really believe we're to love one another. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Jonathan and David. Okay, this is 1 Samuel 18. Jonathan and David, loving one another. As Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. In Jonathan's picture of taking off all of his robes of royalty, just as Christ leaves heaven, empties himself, and gives his life that we could be brought into the inheritance. Now, this love, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Now, let's just start with loving the Word of God, right? To love this record of what's written concerning who he is, what he's done, and introduce this in this way. So 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, stay in Ephesians 5 because we're going to be right back. David went out wherever Saul sent him, and he behaved wisely. So this is Ephesians 5, 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So Ephesians 5:15, right? Walk in wisdom. Does everybody know where Brett was? I don't know. That's not an answer. Brett was in the dove wing. There you go. Welcome back. Ephesians 5:15. I'm just doing that to get you up to speed where we're at. Your wife's got all these notes in her head. She'll tell you all about it when you get home. Uh-oh. What was he talking about? I don't know. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So that's walking in wisdom. By the Holy Spirit, Spirit upon Jesus, Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Okay? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now go to Colossians 4. So remember I said we're going to be in 2, 3, and 4. So we're in next book over, just a little bit to the right. Look at Colossians 4, 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. So David went out wherever Saul sent him, and he behaved wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. A teenager, more than likely. Over the men of war. Jesus at the age of 12, right, asking these questions to the learned, and they're astonished at his answers. Okay? So the description is again, as you understand what God did in this revelation of the knowledge of him and the spirit of wisdom and that this revelation of the Son of God and who he is and what he's done. And then he puts this into his word. And again, Jesus is the Son of David, right? This is Messiah, Son of David, out of the root of Jesse. This is, if you will, David's great, 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 whatever that is, grandpa, after the flesh. But we no longer regard Jesus after the flesh. We regard him after the Spirit, because he's the Son of God who was placed into Mary. And again, as you just handle this and walk in this wisdom and this understanding, and we draw out this meaning, he behaved wisely, walked in wisdom, walked circumspectly. So again, this is for us. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So I'm going to introduce this to you tonight. It takes time and effort to seek that you might understand God's will. Why do we say, I don't know? Because we haven't taken the time to seek out that we might understand what God's will is. So, it is God's will for us, right? Or you can say it for yourself. It is God's will for me to be Spirit-filled in all ministry. It is God's will for me to have the spirit of the wisdom and understanding that was upon Jesus. That spirit of wisdom and understanding should be upon my life. You hearing these things? Okay. So four times in 1 Samuel 18, you have this phrase, behave wisely. Nowhere else in all of 1 Samuel is this described. This is important. This is Holy Spirit important in the introduction of how David conducts himself. Okay, so back to the walk, right? The walk and the works, right? You're putting this together. The walk is the way in which you live. By what you believe, you will always follow after what you believe. If you believe money is the answer for all things, as Solomon was preaching in Ecclesiastes, you do realize he was preaching. He was not giving doctrine of how to walk. He was preaching to a broad, wide section to bring forth the vanity of following that way. So the walk. Okay. So the walk in wisdom. How do you know to live that way? How did you know to do that? Okay. This is the instruction. So four times behaved wisely. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was geeking out over first Psalm of Psalm 1 tonight in worship. So was Gabby. She was geeking out because Holy Spirit connected Ezekiel 47 to the planted by rivers of living water, with the rivers of living water flowing in Ezekiel 47. I'm geeking out because I've done this word study on this understand and behaved wisely. Okay? And so having done this study in preparation for tonight, and it really is the meditating in the law day and night. No, I'm just introducing this to you. It is very wise for you to read your Bible and pray. It is walking in wisdom and understanding of his will as you would seek out to know the Lord as he is revealed by the Holy Spirit in the scriptures, all 66 books. Now, you can't read the Bible. It's too large to read it every night. Right? The depth of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. His ways are past finding out, but he gives it to us to seek out, that he would then give wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, and he would grant you the understanding. Now, it may seem like, how do I ever get there? I don't know if that's your perception, but I'm now saying unto you that which we have now in wisdom and understanding. I know exactly where it came from. It came from the Holy Spirit. He's imparted to us this walking in wisdom. David behaved wisely. Now, where this shows up, okay, is in Joshua 1:8. We all know Joshua 1:9, correct? Right? Be strong and courageous. We probably don't know the rest of it, but at least we know that phrase. But do you realize, and this is what I was geeking out over someone, Joshua 1:8. Now, you can turn there if you want. I'm going to turn there. Joshua judges Ruth. I think there's a pun or a joke in there somewhere as Joshua judges Ruth. One eight. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Sound like Psalm 1? See why I was geeking out? Do people still talk like that? Do the younger generation knows what that means? Would Jaden know what that means? Geeking out?
That is definitely
not what our. Okay. We'll have to talk. Yeah, we'll have to talk to her about this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Who wrote Psalm 1? Who?
David.
David? No. Who wrote Psalm 1? Is it David? The whole Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, but there are human pens. Yeah, okay, very good. It does not say. Do you know that David's, as a king, he's the only one that's written scripture. Now, I'm not even thinking that as he wrote all these psalms that he was saying, oh, this is going to be scripture. See, in his relationship of walking to seek to know and understand God and meditate on his word day and night as he is playing his harp and worshiping God, it's amazing how biblical his worship became. I'm causing you to think tonight. See, where do you get worship that is biblical? By meditating in the Word of God and meditating day and night, and then you're giving this worship to God because you're understanding who He is and what He's done, and out of that heart, David writes all these psalms. So this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Did everybody hear that last word I said? It's the same Hebrew word for behaving wisely. Success, prosperous, behaving wisely. Now I just offer up to you, walk in wisdom, right, by the Holy Spirit, will prosper you in your way. If only there was this book right around the book of Psalms called Proverbs that you could read every day that would impart to you the wisdom and understanding of what you are to do. And you could meditate on those Proverbs, and there's 31 of them, and there's 31 days in half the months that you could actually do a proverb a day. Okay? For then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Do you know what this is? This is Jesus at 12 conducting himself, behaving wisely. Then it said that he went back home and he was obedient and subject to his parents, right? Again, so that, and he grew in favor and stature with God and man. Okay. All right, I'll be done geeking out. Let's do the study now, right? Here we go. We should almost be done, but we're not. Verse 6, now it happened when they were coming home that David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that all the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands. And like an echo, and like a singing and an answering, I like that style of music, right? You teach a song, you sing a phrase, and then you teach the answer. So some of the women are singing, Saul has slain his thousands. The other are answering with, David has slain his 10,000s. Now that does something to Saul. Okay. Saul was very angry. I think the King James says very wroth. And so that word for wroth, the anger, this is the inflamed, so hot, right? I know none of you in church have ever been that angry. Because the Bible says not to be angry, so then we just don't do it, right? Now I just offer this up to you. This is my tongue-in-cheek way of saying to you, wisdom and understanding. So you have a choice now. So to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you are hot with anger, and it's, in this case, Saul was very angry, the saying displeased him, and he said, well, they've ascribed to David 10,000s, then to me, they've only ascribed thousands. And look at this phrase. So what more can he have but the kingdom? So then Saul eyed David from that day forward. Now, walk in wisdom towards those that are without. Right? Walking circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. As I offer up this walking in wisdom, that you might prosper in the way that you go, that you might find success. If Saul, again, I just offer up Ephesians, right? Well, Galatians 5. Works of the flesh are anger, hatred, jealousy, envy. Okay? Our Lord said, if your eye be evil, do you realize what he's doing now? When it says that he's watching, he eyed David. If your eye be evil, then your whole body, right, is full of darkness. So we shouldn't be surprised what happens next. It happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. Now, again, remember how confounding this is, that a distressing spirit from God could be sent to him? But here, and he's prophesying. So this is, the word prophecy is more of a word picture, like a stream or a brook that is bubbling up. So the way that he is speaking, so if you think about a prophet, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, he's declaring these things by the Lord. Or when you have a gift of prophecy, you know exactly what to say. And you can say it because he gave it to you, and you can say it very clearly. And it's like it just keeps coming. And the more that you say, that's the gift of prophecy, the meaning of the word there. But guess what? The false prophets talk like this. It's used also for a false prophet that somebody could say that. So David, Saul is prophesying in the house. David played the music with his hand as at other times. But then look what's in Saul's hands. So David's worshiping with the harp. And again, I'm just going to introduce it to you. Okay, this way. David knows the Lord. Okay? So that's my introduction of this right here. So he knows the Lord. He knows his ways. By faith, he believes who God is and what he has done. And he's even had greater works in that faith to destroy the giant, and he knows the Lord. Now, why do I offer up to us that phrase? Because this is what the spirit of wisdom and understanding is about. The knowledge of God. The wisdom that he gives that you might know him and believe that he is, and then as you diligently seek him, then by faith you know what to do. Because this is where we're at, to be spirit-filled in all ministry. And I'll let you all know, I cannot do what I do without the power of the Holy Spirit upon my life. Okay? This is the understanding. So as Saul is prophesying, David's playing the harp, a spear in Saul's hand, and what do you expect the leaven will be? Saul casts the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. Now, I'm just going to remind you, Saul had the Holy Spirit come upon him as well. Okay? But by the course of disobedience and refusing God's commands, and here's where I want to talk to us tonight. Right? Abiding in the vine, the Lord's very clear. Abide in my love, abide in my words, abide in my commandments. Okay? And you shall bear fruit, and your fruit shall remain. You shall bear fruit, more fruit, much more fruit. And I offer up Psalm 1, the way of wisdom, to not sit in the seat of the scornful or to stand in the path of sinners, but to be by that river of living water, which, again, the source of the supply of wisdom and knowledge that brings forth a prosperous life, a fruitful life. These are terms the Bible uses that are very straightforward. And I offer up that David has this life, and so Saul in his heart is going to pin David to the wall. David escaped his presence twice, just turned away. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And I want you to circle that phrase, not was afraid of David, this phrase, the Lord was with David. The entire Gospel of Matthew ends this way, 28:20. And lo, I am with you always, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, here's the truth of the Spirit of God upon Jesus, is that everyone knew that God was with him when he taught. Okay, the works that he did. Now, this is where this is at tonight. Spirit of the Lord upon David, and even Saul can see the Lord was with him. And there's also then the reference, Saul understood that the Lord had departed him. So the envy, the jealousy, the works of the flesh, very possible for a Christian. Do you hear that? That's why it's written that way. Put off the old man with his lusts and desires. Right? Therefore, mortify the deeds of your flesh. Colossians 3:5. I'm not going to take the time to turn there. I said we'd be in 2, 3, and 4. Mortify the deeds of your flesh. There comes a point for one who is born of God to walk in the wisdom of the Spirit of God upon their lives and by faith take that action to crucify the deeds of the flesh. Now, just again, I'm not heavy-handed about this. I'm simply offering up the wisdom of the Spirit of God upon our lives. So 13, therefore Saul removed David, or removed him from his presence, made him captain over 1,000, then he went out and came in before the people. 14, and David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Now, this is for us together, certainly, but I'm teaching it tonight. This is for each and every one of us in our relationship with the Lord, to have the Spirit of God upon our lives, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and to be filled up under the fullness of God, and to walk in wisdom, or to walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Right? Not being drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but being filled with His Holy Spirit. And I hope this is a broken record to you. 8:15, therefore when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. Why? Because he knows he's the next king. What else can he have but the kingdom? Okay? He's going to have my throne. That's the fear. So you have in verse 5, he behaved wisely. 14, David behaved wisely in all his ways. The Lord was with him. Now, this is God's will for your life. It's not, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know what he wants me to do. That's just not true. Do you hear that? That's not an answer. The answer is, I know that God has all the supply of the riches of wisdom and the knowledge of Him, and that by His Spirit He'll impart that to me through the Word of God. And as I walk in that and meditate in that, the Holy Spirit can teach me all things. And He will show me things to come. He'll bring to remembrance the things that Jesus has said to me. And I will learn to understand God's will for my life, and I can walk in the wisdom of that. Now, who is wise and understanding among you? Right? That's James's declaration in chapter 3. After he's dealt with, nobody can tame the tongue. So I believe that's related. So, David behaved wisely in 14. Saul saw that he behaved wisely. So let's go to James 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? James 3:13. Have you received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and has the Spirit of wisdom been imparted to you? Has the Spirit of understanding been imparted to you? Are you hearing me? What does it mean for you to be Spirit-filled? I receive the wisdom and understanding of God. So then, the question, who is wise and understanding among you? Now, I'll say it. You can decide it. You can say it to for yourself and say, it is God's will for me to be Spirit-filled in all ministry, that I might have the wisdom and understanding of God. How would you show that? Well, James says, let a man show it by his conduct. What are you understanding about David? Behaving wisely. His conduct, his walk. Saul saw that he behaved wisely. David behaved wisely. Okay? Prosperous success. You hearing this? Okay? This meditated upon the word day and night, right? Then you shall become prosperous in your ways. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Walk in wisdom. So, bitter envy, self-seeking. King Saul. You see in the contrast? Do not boast and lie against the truth. You know what Saul's already started to do? Boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic, for where envy and self-seeking exist. Okay? Confusion and every evil thing are there. So the other side of 1 Samuel 18 is Saul being envious and jealous of this Spirit-filled young man who God has anointed to be the next king over Israel because he's a man after God's own heart. And this is where I press in with each and every one of you. This is why I don't know is not an answer for me. Because as you spend that time to know the Lord and you spend time reading the Word and you meditate upon it, you think upon what's being said and you listen to the Holy Spirit and you put that into your heart, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. 3:17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Fruit of righteousness, so on, and peace by those who make peace. Who here reads a proverb a day? Right? Now, if I could convince you tonight by the Holy Spirit that this behave wisely is in there twice. Same Hebrew word shows up in the proverb. This wisdom of conducting yourself in the wisdom that comes forth from God is in there twice. Now, I'll just illustrate this. meditating upon God's word day and night. I read a proverb a day because over 20 years ago, when I heard my pastor teach the Bible, he said, "To you know, when you're reading a proverb a day, to keep Satan away." And after a few months, I'm like, he said it a few times, like, what are you talking about? And then he taught me what he meant by a proverb a day. So today is the 16th of April. Okay. And so I read Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16:20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. Guess what the word wisely is there? That is the same behaving wisely. That is the same prosperous. That is the same success. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. Now, I'm reading in my devotions because that proverb, again, and you want to know when I did the 1 Samuel 18 study? Today. After all that. Right? So as I'm reading, and so this is what I wanted to start with, but I didn't get to start with this, but I'm going to tell you now. When you open up your Bible, every time you open up your Bible, pray and ask to be taught by God's Spirit. So not only did my pastor teach me a proverb a day, he also taught me every time I opened my Bible, Lord Jesus, would you teach me by your Holy Spirit? And I'm here to offer up to you that it's time for you to no longer say, I don't know, but to answer, who is wise and understanding among you? And then you should say, I am. Where did you get that wisdom and understanding? From above. Okay. Now, this works for the beginner as well as for the one who's been pursuing this for 20 years. Because everything that you need is in the Word of God. I love what my pastor's been saying lately. Either the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, or it has none of them. Because if you can pick and choose and then hold some other wisdom above God's Word, what have you just done? You just elevated yourself above the knowledge of God. In fact, that's what we pray against when we're talking about the weapons of our warfare, to cast down those things that have exalted themselves above the knowledge of God. So the first one you got to cast down to walk in the wisdom and understanding is your own understanding and your own self. So how does this work? Well, it works like this. The Holy Spirit brings me to that verse and I write that verse down, and then I pray about that verse, asking the Holy Spirit to impart to me the wisdom and understanding. Meditating upon the word day and night. Now, I want tonight to be thought-provoking for you. Okay, it's an evening study. I mean, all day long working. People say to make the Bible relevant. And it's like, you need to understand. Right? If you will take that time alone with God like David, and God will impart to you the wisdom and understanding, you will find out that this world is irrelevant. But God is relevant. And so as I introduce this, Saul saw that David behaved wisely. And let's read from here to the end of the chapter. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Do you hear that? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. When you walk in the wisdom and understanding of God, and you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This isn't about people pleasing. This is about pleasing God, making it our aim to be well-pleasing unto him, to walk in the wisdom and understanding. Then Saul said to David, here is my older daughter Merib. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. So Saul is very good at speaking Christianese. He sounds like a Christian. Fight the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. So he's not going to be throwing spears at him, so he put him out. But then he offers up this, marry my daughter, but be a man of war, trying to end his life. David said to Saul, who am I and what is my life or my father's family in Israel? So I should be son-in-law to the king. Okay? I'm just going to remind James 3:18. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruits, right? Without hypocrisy and without partiality. Let a man show that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. David, walking in wisdom. But it happened at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, she was given to Adriel, the meth addict, Mahalathite, as a wife. Sorry about that. Not really. Now, Michelle, however you want to say her name. Her name. Saul's daughter loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, I will give her to him that she may be a snare to him, that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore, Saul said to David a second time, you shall be my son-in-law today. Saul commanded his servants to communicate with David secretly and say, look, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Therefore, become the king's son-in-law. So Saul's servants spoke these words in the hearing of David, and David said, does it seem like a light thing to you to be the king's son-in-law? See, I am poor and lightly esteemed man. Okay, meekness of wisdom. So this snare that Saul has set for him, speaking Christianese once again. Now, Proverbs 13:14 and 14:27, if you like. Wisdom. So do you run a course in life fearful over what's coming? Or with wisdom and understanding, you know that as you walk in the Spirit and the wisdom that He gives you, you'll actually be protected from the snare that the devil sets. So when you have those that have been taken captive by the devil, right, we're told to pray for them that they would come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. You can't even make them escape the snare. How did you get in that position? I don't know is not an answer. The truth is, I acted very foolishly and did not avoid the snare. How did you not avoid the snare? Well, I wasn't reading my Bible and praying. I wasn't going on to know the Lord. I know that the Lord is with me, but I decided I knew better than He did. So I walked my own way, and I didn't see the snare that the devil had put in front of me, and all of a sudden I was captured. I have yet to hear that from someone that I'm discipling. But that's the answer. That's me telling them the answer. Okay? That's me exposing the tactics and snare of the devil. 13:14 of Proverbs. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Hear that phrase? Is David going to be caught in this snare? Why not? Because he's walking in the way of wisdom. So 14:27. I like this one because also addressing the snare. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn away one away from the snares of death. So Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Why did you do that sin? I don't know. It's not an answer. Why did you do that sin? I wanted to. I thought it would be pleasurable. Right? Now that's an answer you can work with. So Saul offers up to David both of his daughters, seemingly as a gesture to be the king's son-in-law. Come be a part of the family. We had a gal come to church for 2 weeks, and she wanted to start calling us family, and then we saw how she treated family when she proceeded to fight and yell and scream and whatever she was doing, right? A visitor. It blew up quickly. I try to offend people quickly, right? Do you know why? So don't waste time. Right? Not that I want to be an offense, but the Word of God and Spirit of God. And you listen to this. He sets a snare for David twice. He threw the javelin at him twice, the spear. And the servants of Saul, so verse 24, servants of Saul told him, they reported back to Saul, in this manner David spoke. And Saul said, thus you shall say to David, the king does not desire any dowry, because he's poor. You don't have to pay to have my daughter. The cost is 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemy. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Now, servants told David these words, and it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Now that's a price I can pay. I kill the enemies of God. That's the dowry. I can work with that. Now, back to Romans 8. This is for your wisdom and understanding. This is for your walk. And we're going to take 8. Yeah, we'll start in 1. Romans, right before 1 Corinthians. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, don't think of that as a performance-based how you're walking moment by moment. This is the wisdom that says what? I'm born of God, now I walk after the Spirit of God. I'm born of the Spirit, I walk after the Spirit. That's the context. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So it's wise for you to walk in wisdom to mortify the deeds of your body, that you would count when you sin, you would count a what? That's wrong. Okay. Will you forgive me? You confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive his sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you'd say what? I've come to this conclusion. It's God's wisdom for me that sin should die in me. Okay. The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That evil eye in Saul, who had envy and jealousy and hatred towards another, could not be hidden. You hear that? No matter how cleverly he tried to do that, it manifested in his secret plans to murder David. Likewise, you can't hide anger, hatred, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, works of the flesh. They're evident. For to be carnally minded is death. And I want to read that again. Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What was he talking about tonight? I don't know. I'm talking about life in the Spirit, walking in the wisdom by the Spirit of God. Walking circumspectly. You know what circumspectly means? Carefully. By transgression, an evil man is snared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. David's playing the harp, singing music. And Saul and David. Okay, we should wrap up. Therefore, David arose and went, he and his men, and they killed 200 men of the Philistines and brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full count to the king. Yep. Yep, he did. That he might become the king's son-in-law, Saul gave him Michal, his daughter as a wife. You take your pronunciation. Look at 28. Thus Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. Now, this is what I bring before you. Is it evident to everyone in your life that the Lord is with you? You hearing me? Is it evident to those who know you that you walk after the Spirit of God? So Saul can see that the Lord is with David and his daughter Michal. Saul's daughter loved him. Saul was still more afraid of David. So Saul became David's enemy continually. And that word continually means it never left his mind from that point forward. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You should not be troubled again by any other person. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So maybe you got some reconciliation to do between you and God. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war. And so it was, whenever they went out, and look at this phrase, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. Four times he conducted himself by the Spirit of wisdom. And we made it to the end. Let me pray for you tonight. Lord, we confess way too often we've left everything in a realm of I don't know or I don't care. And we come and humble ourselves tonight, seeking that the lowliness of humility, that you would give us more grace tonight. That you would impart to us in the meekness of wisdom a walk after the Holy Spirit to understand your will, that we are no longer to be fornicating. We are no longer to be idolaters. We are no longer to be. So we humble ourselves before you and ask that you would teach us by the Holy Spirit to walk after Jesus according to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That we'd walk in the Spirit. We'd walk in the wisdom, that we would understand your will, and that you would now, Lord, I just pray your blessing upon each and every one of your sheep, each and every one of your children, that they would prosper spiritually. They would have spiritual success. They would behave wisely. Lord, they would know what to do, and you would prosper them in that way of the cross. In your Spirit would be poured out upon us, and that your works would be accomplished. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.